Hallelujah. Acts chapter 8, and we're in the season of Easter. We're going quickly into the season of Easter, and we're beginning our Come Alive campaign. It's a 40-day challenge. So this morning, I want to show you in Scripture where the church came alive. Amen? And after we're done with this sermon, I'm praying, God, that you're going to come alive like you've never been alive before. Amen? That the Spirit of God will trigger you. Can I say that? I said the Spirit of God will trigger you. You know, sometimes we're triggered by situations. We're triggered by people. Everybody said, oh, she or she said this, and it triggered me. But I want to tell you this morning, God has a trigger. He's about to pull out and set you on fire. He's about to mobilize his church and set us on fire to run with this gospel, because there is only one name given among men whereby we can be saved, and is the name of Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and says, I'm about to be triggered. Tell him, watch me, I'm about to be triggered. Tell him, see something, the Holy Ghost. Say, listen to this, the Holy Ghost is going to trigger me. Watch me, I'm about to blow. I'm about to blow. Tell him, watch me. I'm about to blow. God is getting ready to make me explode. If somebody hears and faith is risen in your spirit, shout unto God. Give him a hallelujah. Yes. Verse 1, it says, now Saul was consenting to his death. Now that's a continuation from chapter 7, where they were killing Stephen. Stephen was being stoned to death. He was being killed in front of the public. And Paul was there agreeing with the death of Stephen. But tell him, watch, don't trigger a servant of God. Because you do some things and you think you're going to hurt them. But God's got a way of turning the evil around for good. Amen. He's got a way to take the evil, what was intended for your demise. And he's able to take it and spur you on to life and to joy and to blessings in abundance. And he's able to turn your mess into a message. He's able to take your situation and make you a shining light for his honor and for his glory. So tell the devil, go on, do what you want to do. And at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Where was the church? And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And great devout men carried Stephen to his what? Looks like a bad situation, doesn't it? But God is able to turn it around. Tell somebody, yes, serve the God of the turnaround. Come on, tell somebody, yes, serve the God of the turnaround. Hallelujah. And made great lamentation over him. All right, let's fix this mic. As for Saul, he made havoc. What he made? That's a bad word. Havoc is a strong word. The church was in fear. Fear. Havoc speaks of destruction. Things falling apart. People are dying. It's like the earthquakes we saw in Turkey. That's havoc. Not a good situation. Remember, keep praying for those people. About 50,000 people die. You know, we come to church and we give God this halfway praise. And we give God this halfway worship. Let's quit that. He is worthy to be. Those are strong words. He is worthy to be. To what? How do you praise God? Can somebody show me how to praise God? You're not worshiping me. You're worshiping Jesus. You're worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The one that defeated the devil, defeated hell, defeated sin, or conquered death and the grave. I said he is worthy to be. That's how the church ought to behave. When we come to church, we all have an understanding. The Bible says, praise him and worship him in what? Understanding. With understanding, not just coming to just go through form and fashion. Oh, they finished singing. Oh, they didn't sing too good. Oh, the music didn't sound right. Oh, the service leader wasn't great. No! There is no other place like the Church of the Living God. There is no other institution like the Church of the Living God. That's why when you try the doctor and you try the rehab and you tried your friends and you tried your substances and you tried all sorts of things and you tried prostitutes and you tried sex and you tried the bar, Almighty God, and it can't help you, and you went to the witch doctor and they couldn't help you, finally you're dragged into that. Why? Because there is no other place like that. So when you come to, you ought to behave a certain way. When you come to, you must behave a certain way. You come here to praise God. Let's praise him. We worship you. We worship you. We exalt your name. Align us, Lord. Align us, align us, align us, align us. Holy Ghost, align us. Holy Ghost, align us. Holy Ghost, align us. Let us come alive. Trigger them, Lord. Trigger your people this morning. Rakandarababa, Shotarababa. Trigger us, trigger us. We need the trigger of the Holy Ghost. Shatara baba baba kandara baba suturu shatara baba rikandara baba sundarusha. He kandara mama sata. He katu rusunda. He mandala basha. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. No doubt you come to church with
stuff on you. But I believe that when you come with stuff on you and you begin to praise God and you begin to worship God and you begin to adore Him, mighty God, the chains, when you step into the anointing of God, you step into His house, the chains must fall off. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Wow. Verse 3. And for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house. How many houses? And dragging off men and women. Not only men and women. Committing them to prison. Why? All because they called on the name of Jesus. Why? Because they called on the name of Jesus. Therefore, those who were scattered, somebody say scattered, went everywhere. Where they went? Where they went? Preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord, heeding the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Father, we thank you today. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll just move in our midst as you have already begun. We pray that you'll just continue. I pray you'll take your word. And Holy Ghost, that you would trigger us today, that we would have left here, oh God, on fire, would have left here encouraged, built up, and empowered to go and be a witness. I pray every soul, oh God, in-house and online, and those that will watch later, I pray, God, that they will come alive by the power, oh God, even as the wind of revival is in the air, we pray, God, it will blow in this room right now, and you will trigger us, you will trigger us by your power and by the fire, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. So at this point, the church is young. The church is young. Jesus had died, buried, resurrected, ascended back to heaven. The Lord told them, he said, do not leave Jerusalem until you receive what? Power. Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And there's a next step. He said, after you receive the Holy Ghost and power, you will become something. You will become my witnesses. Now, without the power of the Holy Ghost, they would have just laid dormant. Without the power of the Holy Ghost, they would have just been satisfied, because they understood, they knew that Jesus rose from the dead, because they encountered him physically after he resurrected. Remember when they went fishing and they fished all night and they caught nothing? What happened? When they looked to the shore, they saw a man cooking fish for them. They went looking for fish. They couldn't find fish, but fish was already on the shore waiting for them. Who was cooking it? Jesus was cooking it. And when Peter recognized it was the Lord, what he did? The man jumped out of the boat. He said, boat, I don't need you no more. I fished all night and you couldn't give me anything. He said, net, I don't need you no more. I used you all night and I got nothing. He even said to James and John, I don't need you anymore. I found who I've been looking for. I found my Lord. I found my Savior. I found the healer of my soul. I found my Messiah. I found my way maker. I found my help. I found my joy. I found my peace. Give me Jesus. He jumped out the boat, swam to the shore because he wanted to eat what Jesus was cooking. I want to ask somebody something. Where are you eating? What are you eating? What kind of food you're eating? The problem is we're eating everywhere. We're eating from every plate. We're eating from every pot. We're eating contaminated food. And you wonder why your joy is sucked out, why your peace is sucked out, why your hope is sucked out, why your love is going cold. You're wondering why. You're wondering why you can't be triggered and be passionate for God. It's because of the food you're eating. And the plate from which you are eating, and the hands that are dealing it to you. I want to wake somebody up this morning and tell you it is time to get to eating what the master is cooking. He said, I am the bread of life. If you're going to be my disciple, you got to eat my flesh. You got to drink my blood. You got to eat my flesh. You got to drink my blood. I'm telling you, church, it is time to align your appetites. Peter swam to shore, and when he got there, it was a meal prepared. Didn't he say in Psalm 23, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Stop looking around at your enemies. Look at the early church. When Paul was looking for them, they weren't worried about Paul. When Paul was putting them in prison, they weren't worried about Paul. When Paul was putting men and women, committing them to prison, committing them to long sentences, putting them in prison in chains and shackles, they weren't worried. No, they remembered the word. The Bible says they continued daily in the apostles' doctrine and in prayer. They were in the things of the Spirit. They were eating from the hand of the Master. They were eating from the table of the Lord. So quickly they remembered that nothing is able, because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So it doesn't matter how hot it gets. It doesn't matter how hot it gets. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. It doesn't matter if they lock us up. We are triggered because of where we are eating. They remember that God says, I will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Many of us are dealing with situations and we feel like it's going to take us out. I came to tell the devil he's a liar. Him and all the demons that roll with him. I'm here to tell them I got good news for them. And it might be bad for them, but I got good news for you. That God will make a way of escape. Nothing can take you out, because nothing can put you here. It is the Master who has called you, who have ordained you, who has set you apart unto his purpose. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I was shaking you. Listen, I only slept like 2 hours last night, and I feel strong. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. What are you eating? When I couldn't sleep, guess what I did? I looked at my word, and I read my word. I prayed. I ate from the right table. I didn't get up and walk around and be like, oh God, I can't sleep. Oh God, this. No, no, no. I opened my Bible to Galatians chapter 2. And he said, oh God, you have come into the covenant of grace. Don't worry with works. Hang out at the grace table. The table is spread. The table has bountiful substances. Receive what I have for you. So, trouble on every side. Havoc. Destruction. The goal of the enemy was to create chaos. Hello? The goal of the enemy, follow with me here, because you got to get triggered, right? We got work to do. Tell somebody I got work to do. Tell them I got no time to play. Because people are dying and people are going to hell. Right, left, right, and center. Gunshots are firing. Knives are sticking. Young people are dying. Listen to me. One of our niece, she went to class and a boy just pulled out the scissors and cut her for no reason. For no reason. And when he's done, he's laughing. Thank God it wasn't that bad. She got 2 or 3 stitches. But it could have been worse. He could have stick it in her hand. And you get stuck the wrong place, and sometimes it can save your life. It is time for us to wake up, church. It is time for us to preach the gospel. It is time, listen, because if that child was saved, there was no pulling no scissors, and there was not cutting nobody. Tell me when last you seen a spirit-filled, baptized with the Holy Ghost, a person walking around with a knife, or walking around with a gun, hurting people. I want to tell you, it is not mental illness. No, it is spiritual illness. Spiritual illness. The spirit man needs to be born again. Nobody want to tell him, you better meet somebody on the street for the next 40 days and say, here's an invitation. You need to be born again. He that had the Son had life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. So the goal of the enemy was to distract God's purpose. But what the devil didn't realize was that God already empowered the church for what was about to happen. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You are raised up for a time like this to be his witness. You are called, he said, you are the light of the world. Forget that Jesus is the light. We know he is the light. We're convinced that he is the light. We're convinced that he is the way. We're convinced that he's the only Son of God. We're convinced that he's the only Savior. But he has made you the light of the world. He has made you the salt of the earth. It is time to shine. It is time to shine in a dark world. Listen, you're looking for a place to shine? Go to work and shine. Start shining in your home. We're all saying, oh, excuses. Some of your excuses make no sense. So that's why I made it sound like, when last you told somebody about you, well, you know. Well, as you prayed for somebody, well, maybe 5 years ago. Well, as you encourage someone that you see in church, they're all good. No. The Bible says when you get together, one bring a psalm, bring a hymn, one bring a word of encouragement, one uplift. He said, you are your brother's keeper. Let brotherly love prevail. Relationship matters. Hello? It matters. So you're wondering, where can I be light? Where can I be salt? Right where you're sitting right now. Make up your mind that I'm going to be light. I'm going to be salt. I'm not waiting to go home to get nothing. No, I'm leaving church as the light of the world today. Because greater is he that is. Greater is he that is. Greater is he that is. So what the enemy didn't realize was that the greater was on the inside of these people. That even if you put them in prison, God is able to cause them to shine in the darkest of places. Whenever it gets dark and it feels like the world is becoming hopeless, it is the perfect condition for light. Because where is light needed most? In darkness. I don't need your light right now. No. I don't need your light.
I need your light to shine when you go to school tomorrow. I need your light to shine when you go to work tomorrow. I need your light to shine when you go into the car after church and your wife tells you something you don't want to hear. I need your light to shine when you pull up at McDonald's at the drive-thru and the person is slow taking your order. Or you get to the window and your order is wrong. You're like, what stupidness. No. You're not being a witness there. You're being part of the wickedness. Because what you're giving, the works of the flesh. Are we going somewhere? Are you happy you came to church? So am I. I'm happy you're here to hear what God has to say. But what I'm saying, the pressure was up. Chaos, seemingly. Imprisonment, for real. People are getting stoned to death because of their faith. When they arrested James and John, or Peter and John, Acts chapter 3, they warned them, they said, all we want you to do is not to speak in the name of Jesus. In the world today, you can pray in the name of God. You can pray in the Most High One, the All-Powerful One, the anything you can pray about except the name of Jesus. So what the world has a problem with is not God, but their problem is they don't want you to get to God. Can I tell you that? They don't want you to get to God. The Bible says there's only one name given among men whereby you can be saved, and it's the name of Jesus. So if you ever call the name of Jesus, it is your entrance into the presence of Almighty God. It is you unlocking all of heaven's storehouse, but they don't want you to say Jesus. But you shall receive power. You shall receive ability. You shall receive know-how. You shall receive leading. You shall receive guidance when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be my witness. So pressure is turning up in Jerusalem. The church said, goodbye, Jerusalem. We're going down to Judea, because Jesus said, you will be my witnesses in Judea, in Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. Now let's look at the text. Then Philip went down to the city of what? Where did he go? Come on, where did he go? Where did Jesus tell him there would be his witness? In Samaria. So now the persecution was to push them into the destiny that God had for them. If persecution did not come on this side, they would have stuck around and built a mega church, let's put it this way, in Jerusalem. And they would have had the best anointing oil, and they would have had the best cymbals, and the best tambourines, and whatever they had in those days, they would have had it in Jerusalem. But God said, man, I got some sheep you don't know about yet. He said, I must go through Samaria. I left a deposit down by the well with that little bad chick down there. Read your Bibles. He said, I must go down to Samaria. So he sowed the seed there. He raised up an evangelist, which was that woman. Because what did she do? Left her water pot, ran, come see a man. The problem is they don't want you to see Jesus. Because if you could only see Jesus, you forget about the woman, you forget about the stores, you forget about the shopping, you forget about the TV, you forget about going, hanging out here and there. If you would see. So now they're scattered. What are they? Scattered. Not every situation that arises in your life is for evil.
And even if the devil intended it for evil, what did Joseph say to his brothers? He said, you intended it for evil, but God has turned it around for good. I want to tell you, steer every evil situation in your life and say, you're going to turn around for good. You see, you, my son, that is walking contrary to God, God is going to turn you around. Because I read about a prodigal son that went on the run and was living wild and chaotic. But he came to himself, and you're going to turn around. I read about the people when they were in the desert and they only had 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they were sitting there and there was no food for the people to eat, and the Lord said, bring me what you got, and he blessed it, and the Bible said 5,000 ate, and they picked up 7 baskets. So look at your luck and say, luck, this is what I got. This is my tithes, and this is my offering. I'm putting it into the storehouse of God. And the word of God says, prove me this day if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive. God is able to turn it around for. He's able to turn it around for. You are the head and not the, you are above and not be. Scatter them. Now, Philip, you want to know who Philip is? This is Philip the evangelist, one of the 7 deacons. This wasn't a disciple. The 12 of them remained where? In Jerusalem. Who got busy? The church got busy. Say, I'm the church. Say, I'm the church. Some of you are not sure if you're the church, but for those online, say, I am the church. And I'm going to get busy. He went down to Samaria. Samaria was a place that was not conducive to the gospel, because in Samaria they served all kinds of gods. Because who did they meet up with when they got to Samaria? They met up with a man by the name of Simeon, the sorcerer. So he was the kingpin. He was a real deal down there. The people loved him because he kept the people in awe. When he performed the magics and he made things happen, they were like, ooh, this man is from the gods. So it was not the place that was most conducive to the gospel. But I want to tell you, Jesus said, you shall receive power. Power is used to defeat. Power is used to destroy. When you look at a weapon, a military arm, a tank, what do you think that tank has? Destructive power. It doesn't matter the size of the building that stands in front of it. Once they aim that whatever gun part at that building, it's going to blow it up. Even if they make the glass really thick, because of the power that is in the chamber of the tank, when that person pulls a little trigger, all of a sudden here, boom, little trigger. You might look at yourself and you're saying, ah, who am I? I'm just little and I'm insignificant. Why you want to use me, Lord? He's saying, I want to trigger you and you and you and you. I'm going to use your testimony. Hey, God didn't take Peter and he didn't send John. No, he sent Philip down to Samaria. And look what happened when he got down there. He went down to the city of Samaria and preached to them. And look at the response. And the multitudes with one accord, he did the thing spoken by Philip. The who? The multitudes. Who was speaking through Philip? The Holy Spirit was giving him words to speak. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, was flowing with his words. You see, the problem is we do not open our mouths. So we cannot prove what God can do. You take a step of faith, guess what God does? He steps with you. I often wonder, I'm like, Lord, why do people come to hear me preach? I probably won't come to hear me.
I often wonder that thing. Why do people come to hear me preach? But it's not because it's not my words. It is the Spirit of God that works with my words. Do you understand that? It is the Holy Spirit that takes my words, puts it in your ear, mixed with faith, mixed with hope, and all because I'm coming out of this book. And I'm preaching along the lines of what God wants you to hear. So, now Philip went down there. It doesn't say he knew Tom, Dick, Harry, John, Blue, Jay. No, he went down there and he began to preach the word. And the Bible says, the multitude. You don't know who is waiting to hear your voice. You think Billy Graham was born in a stadium? You think Benny Hinn was born in an arena? No. No, all it is being obedient to what God is saying. Jesus commands us, every one of us, he said, go ye into all the world and make disciples. Every one of us is conditioned to make disciples. I want to tell you, it is time for us to quit sitting around, time for us to quit complaining, time for us to stop saying, I cannot have an impact. You don't know what to say? Just go like this. God bless you. They're going to look at this. They're going to say, oh, wow, what is this? And they're going to read. And it says, come alive. That's going to trigger. And it's going to, something is going to pong on their hearts and say, am I dead? Am I dead? But when they read it, they would realize, it would bear witness, if you have the Son, you are alive. But if you do not have the Son, you are dead. So it's time for us to go, just like him. He went unto Samaria. The multitudes listened to him. And look what happened next. Seeing the miracles which he did. Why was he able to do miracles? Because he had the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside. The enemy thought that he's going to scatter the church. But when the church gets scattered, you better believe miracles happen here, miracles happen there, miracles happen over there, miracles on the east, miracles on the west, miracles on the north. It is time for us to go out and pray for people. Wherever you see somebody is sick, call them, say, can I pray for you? Call them, can I encourage you? Call them. Man, you don't need to see them heal. You just pray. The word of God says, you shall lay hands on the sick, and they what? Shall recover. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. It's time for us to go out in faith. Pray for those in wheelchairs. Pray for them. Pray for them. Believe God. This is what the word says. You shall lay hands on the sick and you shall see them what? Recover. I was watching this video this week on Instagram, and this was in Brazil, and a lady is in a wheelchair and they're worshiping in the church. And all of a sudden, the power of God hit her. She jumped out of the wheelchair all by herself. She got up out of the wheelchair. They wanted to know what is happening. They had to go surround and hold her, but she started to stand up. What did Jesus say to them? Your faith has made you whole. Only believe. All things are possible. How good can you believe that God will use you to preach a gospel? How can you, you're saying, I'm sitting here, I'm just simple, I don't know how to talk. No, you say, Lord, just use me. I'm like Philip, I'm ready to go. Wherever you're going to lead, I'm going to follow. I'm going all the way with you. Amen? I'm going all the way with you. Some of us are so convinced that there are demon-possessed people around us, but yet we will not pray for them because we don't want them to manifest. We don't want them to manifest, right? We're afraid of manifestation. But if you would read the Gospels, you will see that manifestation is normal. Manifestation is normal because what? The demon is begging to stay, but you are telling him to go.
He wants to sin. He's holding on you. No.
And you're like, out. He's like, no. Like, out. He's like, no. What do you think he's trying to do? Stay. He's trying to stay. But what you have is power to command him to go. What it says here, unclean spirits left people. People were delivered because what? Philip came alive and he went down to Samaria. I want to tell you today, it is time for us to build our faith. And verse 8 says, and there was great joy in that city. Why was there joy? Because people found the name Jesus. You ever seen someone that was unsaved? Angry, miserable. Can't smile. The face was made out of concrete. And they drank lemon juice. It's like they went for the orange juice, but someone got switched up. And they drank the lemon juice and they left the house. Good morning. Yeah, no joy. No joy. They can't smile. They cannot be happy. Even if the song's been, I'm happy. Yeah. Some people are so possessed with all kinds of spirit of oppression, depression, manipulation, and it goes on and on and on. But it's all the work of the enemy. I know some of you, when you came here, you were so serious, but now you smile so nicely, you laugh, because what? God did a work in your heart. It's like he passed you from night to day. If you're one of those, say amen. No, I'm just kidding. But yes, I'm showing you the power of the gospel. This is what people are waiting for. For us to go and say, Jesus Christo is to pass. Jesus is your peace. Jesus is your peace. Learn a few Hispanic words. You don't have to know much. Jesus Christo es tu paz. Jesus is your peace. Look at my brother over there. He said, amen, amen. Listen, we live in a world, and if you want to learn how to evangelize in Spanish, download Google Translate. Yeah, and you type in English, Spanish comes out at the bottom. You type in English if you meet someone that speaks whatever language. Yeah, you put it there. You better believe when people want to make money, they speak all kinds of language. Yeah, when they're trying to sell you something, they get Google Translate and they tell you what they're trying to tell you. If they're lost, you want to find direction, you Google Translate it. Why not translate the gospel of Jesus Christ and tell somebody that Jesus loves you? Learn it. If you live in a neighborhood with Bengalis, learn to say it in Bengali. If you live where Portuguese are, learn it in Portuguese. Learn to say, come alive. And they look at you, how you know that? And you just hand them the card. Say, Jesus. Listen, we got to get prepared. We live in a changing, ever-changing world. Ever-changing world. That Jesus didn't tell us how to do it. He just said, go and do it. Let's all stand today. Hallelujah. Philip went down to Samaria. When the pressure was turning up in Jerusalem, the church had not caved because they were empowered to be the witnesses. And what I'm believing here today, that somebody is coming alive. Somebody is coming alive. Somebody has been triggered today by the word of God. I don't want you to ignore. I don't want you to leave the same way you came. I want you to make a commitment. I want you to make a commitment today that I'm going to remain triggered for the next 40 days.